Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Are You Not Entertained? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, all those things to all of our fans. We hope you had a great one, and continue to have great ones for those of you still on vacation. Like myself, as my co-hosts can see, I am barely functioning as a human. I'm not shaven, and I'm probably smell a little bit, but we're all through Skype. So
don't Russ, are you turning heel?
No, I'm just giving you a... I'm giving...
Bullshit! If you start growing a beard, you have turned heel.
That is true, but I am actually going on... I'm on vacation, so I am sans keep myself clean. So...
Does that make me a permanent good guy?
I guess, in ways. Yes, I'm a face. Baby face. Got that baby
face. I am the ultimate face on this...
You truly are. We are on podcast number 21, and it is December 28th, 2016. Last podcast of the year, guys. We've had 21. Well, there's been 21 episodes of Are You Not Entertained? Not all of us have had 21. Kent.
It's been right around like 15. This is like our 15th for us because I've done two with Steve. I've done two American Horror Stories, one Walking Dead, and like one other horror one. So that would make this our 15th one.
Wow, our 15th one. And it's our last one of the year.
You know, 15th, that's the T anniversary.
Ah. The T anniversary, as in like the what you're holding in your hand, T.
Damn right. All right. I don't know why you guys aren't celebrating it.
I had mine this morning, so I'll have some more tonight.
Good.
I don't actually drink right. tea, so I guess I'm not celebrating.
Wow, Carrie, way to break it.
I'm sorry.
Are you gonna stop shaving too and go heel? Yeah.
No.
So. If you don't know what we do here, we like to talk wrestling. And, well, we're going to admit it right here now. This is the time of year where wrestling sucks. It's just in a lull because we're getting ready to go into Royal Rumble, which starts off Road to WrestleMania, which gets us into our hyper-exciting modes. So this is just that lull between things. But honestly, the wrestling hasn't been too bad. But we'll talk about it this week. And this week's also tough. It's the holiday season. I, for myself... completely forgot Raw was even on the night that it was on Mondays. I know it's on Mondays, but because I didn't have to work and I was out of town, I completely forgot about it. So, yeah, good stuff for me. I did watch highlights, so I'll try to contribute, but that's going to be mostly on you guys. Carrie, did you get to see it?
Bits and pieces. I spent Monday night recovering and resting up after I spent basically 36 hours traveling to and from upstate New York for the holiday.
How about you, Kat?
I have a stalker.
Elaborate.
So,
go on.
On Monday, noticed that there were some footprints outside my window. And like, there's like this whole like path of snow, and there's no footprints along anybody else. Like, normally there's kids outside playing or something. No, there's no footprints. There's only footprints. There's exactly 3 footprints in front of my window, and only my window in this building. And there's 4 along this wall. So they could have stalked anybody's window. Plus, I mean, there's 2 per... No, 3 per apartment. They could have stalked anybody, but no, they stalked me. So I have a stalker because, you know...
Well, if you wake up dead... Cool. We'll know who it is. But I can tell you one suspect it's not. Me.
You know what's awesome? How delayed you are on the webcam. Can you talk some more? I just want to watch it.
Okay, sure. Why not? Well, let's get into wrestling this week. Not the most exciting wrestling in the world, I'd say. But
bullshit. We had a great SmackDown.
Well, SmackDown was really good. Yes, we'll get into SmackDown. SmackDown was good.
Russ, I mean... Is the basic problem that was this a letdown because the Sasha and Charlotte feud is dead? Is this why we are in such a lull right now? Is because we are no longer making history.
That's true. We are. History has been unmade in a way or so.
I think that's why we're all like feeling that lull. Yeah. That there's no more history to be made,
exactly.
Really.
They've done everything they possibly can. There's no more history to be made.
They have not had a submissions match. They haven't had a... Buff Bagwell's mom on a pole match. There are so many things that they could do to further that feud, and damn it, I want to see it.
But they've stopped it now, so what are we going to do? The history's over.
Well, if we start chanting stuff and like get people into chanting stuff at the venues. I mean, people chant most ridiculous things. Buff Bagwell and Mom on a Pole match. I mean, it just rolls off the tongue.
It really does. Didn't they have that a chant at some point?
Oh, God, they probably did.
All right, let's start with what we liked about wrestling this week. Let's go with Raw, start with Raw. Carrie, what was your Raw take this week?
Given the fact that I've watched very, very little of it, except maybe the beginning, I'm going to say, and then I'm going to start with a rant, Stephanie shutting down the Chicago crowd with a CM Punk chant. And this is where my rant starts. Okay. Live crowds, and I mentioned this in the blog, 9deuce.com/wrestling. Please, live crowds, stop with the CM Punk chant. The dude is not coming back, and really, you're just making yourselves look stupid.
Never say never, Carrie. Never say never.
Not in wrestling.
That's true. But still, enough. It's not doing anything. The only thing I liked about the Chicago crowd was the Colt Cabana head that you saw poke up every few minutes between on Raw and SmackDown. But back to Stephanie shutting down the crowd. That was a great line. I think that was the line of the night. But other than that, that whole opening segment kind of blew. Or is it just me, guys?
Well, for me, real quick, because, again, I only watched bits and pieces of it, it seemed very scripted. Raw seems so scripted, and I don't know if that's just a product of their just terrible actors on Raw, but SmackDown never seems scripted to me. It always seems very smooth-flowing, and they do a really good job with it. Where that opening segment was just rough, and I'm a Rollins guy, and it was terrible.
Wait, when did you become a Rollins guy?
I know. It's hard. I've been trying to hide it. So, I didn't want anybody to know. I put the cats out of the bag. I'm a huge Seth Rollins fan. Kat, what'd you think?
I'm going to go with a contrarian belief to Carrie. I like the Punk chants. I like the Punk chants, even though I actually don't think he's ever going to come back. As much as I want to sit here and wish and all that stuff, because I think Punk was one of the all-time top 20 performers. I can say top 20. I have no problem saying that. I think he was excellent. I also think that CM Punk is Triple H's first true test. Vince is not. Vince can only last so much longer. And then
one
the Reigns are going to be. Well, yeah. The Reigns have to, not the Roman, but the Reigns, they have to get passed on to Triple H and Steph at some point. And CM Punk is Triple H and Steph's first big obstacle. Vince has always had a history of being able to eventually work with somebody who has burned bridges in the past. That's going to be the true test. If Triple H and Steph can somehow convince Punk to come back for that one last WrestleMania. And as a matter of fact, how great would it be if Punk did come back for one last WrestleMania and become such a hypocrite against all the things that he bitched about? He'd become like that awesome heel. It's like, yeah, I just came back for the money. And just be cocky and arrogant about it. It would be cool. And the video packages would be awesome because they could show all these crowds chanting for Punk over and over again. I dig it. If nothing else, I don't know. I'd rather them cheer for Punk than most of the Raw roster. I hate to say that, but Punk's still better than anything they have on Raw aside from Jericho. Who's better than Punk on Raw?
Well, they could have guys better than Punk than on Raw, but they just...
Oh, yeah, they could. I mean, if they duplicated SmackDown writers...
Right, I had to say, if they had some better stuff, I could say that, but you're right, it's really tough. I'm going to kind of go in the middle of you two on this one, which is kind of weird. Usually I either side with one of you, usually Carrie. I'm going to kind of go in the middle between you guys because I see Carrie's side. It is annoying, but a hot crowd, even if it's for CM Punk, is still a good crowd. I mean, they were, for the most part, Chicago was a pretty good crowd. They were into the matches. They were really, you know, cheering on some of the superstars. It was pretty darn good. The only thing I was a little worried about was when, I want to say it was Alexa and Becky. They were super quiet in the beginning of that match. But other than that, they were, you know, they were there. And they were a good match. So the CM Punk match, the CM Punk chants, I can see how it's annoying, but they don't bother me too much. And if the wrestlers are really good, which they have started to get good at shutting down the crowds and controlling the crowds, it doesn't really matter.
But, you know what? That's the thing. These people, they got to learn to shut down crowds better. Cause,
yes.
I mean, Steph did it masterfully. I'm looking at my Raw notes, and my top two things on there was Steph. That whole 2 minutes and 15 second thing was great, and how good she did with her promo. She made those boys look like idiots out there. Like, she was just on a completely different level. And these are full-time performers, and they just, they're not hacking it. And, you know, I expect it somewhat from Roman. They've always covered and protected Roman with his promos. But God damn it, Seth was on the fucking mic every single show last year, it seemed like.
Good, too. This has been terrible.
Yeah, he was fine last year. Now, all of a sudden, like, he has regressed.
Horribly.
It astounds me.
It's gotten to a point for me, since Rollins has been a face, he's trying to pander to the crowd, and he's not a crowd panderer, just like Sasha Banks isn't. You gotta go to these guys' strengths. It's okay to make them faces and not pander to the crowd. The crowd likes them. Seth Rollins doesn't have to do anything. His music just has to hit and the people start cheering. So he doesn't have to pander to the crowd. He can do the once in a while right here in Chicago, Illinois, or whatever. He can do that every once in a great while, but he doesn't have to pander. It seems like they make, at least on Raw to me, it's if you're a face, you have to pander to the crowd. You have to. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't. Seth is terrible. Sasha's terrible. Roman's Roman. I mean, he can sometimes be good and sometimes be awful.
Do you feel that the Raw writers might be a little bit more old school in how they... Do you think they're younger or older? Because I've been going back and forth, because sometimes SmackDown, it's like they go back to the most basic wrestling principles, Wrestling 101. They let the matches happen, they cut a little promo, and it just works. And then on Raw, it's just so overly complicated, and I'm like, are they overcomplicated because it's new guys, or is it old, stubborn guys that just, I don't know, are kind of like set in their stupid ways with scripted promos and stuff? What do you think? Curry, you're looking one way. That means you're thinking.
I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like the Raw writers are kind of tailored to a different like fan base than what you would see on SmackDown. Like Raw, they're like, oh, we're trying to, you know, appeal to the casual fan who isn't really going to question, oh, why are they doing this, or really read too much into a segment. While you look at SmackDown, that writing's kind of tailored a little bit more towards wrestling fans. And wrestling fans are going to dissect a promo segment. They're going to dissect a match more so than the casual fan would. I think it's the kind of the tale of two different fan bases, really.
I think Carrie kind of hit that one on the head.
Wait. Did you just say a tale of two kitties?
Because
that would have been cooler.
That's a great Garfield movie. So
that was it.
Yeah, I know. I think Carrie hit it on the head. Raw is their flagship, or it was, is the flagship. And it's got to keep the general interest of the general crowd that's not so into wrestling like we are.
Wait, you bring that up. Why don't they have Cena then? Like, if that's your whole appeal, why do you not have the one person that is exactly what you're trying to accomplish? Isn't John Cena the face of, you know, what you're proposing Raw's trying
to
accomplish?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that one. It's weird. You're right. John Cena would be a better fit on Raw, but honestly, he's lucky as hell he's on SmackDown. But it's... it just seems like Raw, every time, like, they do the stupid, stupid segment jokes, where SmackDown doesn't try to seem to do that. They do everything... is naturally done on SmackDown, and it seems like that's more tailored to a wrestling fan base, where Raw is tailored to, yes, there is some wrestling fan base in there, but it's more the general fan, because they're the ones, they got to keep them on Raw. And for whatever reason, stupid, but there's no way, there's nothing to change it, I don't think. Nothing's going to change it.
All right, I want to ask this question. I'm going to ask Carrie first, since she has not been in the wrestling game as long as we have. She may not have seen other couplings like this. Carrie, how do you feel about Cass always being the one that saves Enzo? Like, Enzo's consistently made out to be the weaker guy. He's the promo guy. Are you for this? Does it help both of them in the long run? Or is it making either of them weaker? I mean, because I can make an... In my mind, I feel they're both coming off weaker. Because they keep doing this thing. But I'm just not sure how you feel about it.
Well, I mean... Yeah, this the way Enzo's book lately, it just makes him appear very, very weak. And almost to the point where my suggestion is stop having him wrestle and just have him be a manager. I mean, that's really all he is Big Cass's mouthpiece at this point, who gets beat up all the time. And Big Cass also kind of looks weak because he needs a mouthpiece in order for somebody to speak for him. So, yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you there. But at the end of the day...
Oh. Sorry, Carrie, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go, please. Oh.
Is it the end of a new day?
Possibly.
No, it's just
day.
The end of days.
clue.
Harry Corbin.
Something we're all three super fans of.
Yes. But what was I saying? Basically, at the end of the day, regardless of how Enzo makes Cass look, Cass is the one who's being booked stronger than let's say Enzo is.
Well, I was going to agree with you on the Enzo part. It's definitely not doing anything for Enzo, because Enzo, when they eventually break up within what, next 2 months? I know it's not. I'm just kidding.
I think they're going to be going much longer than you keep predicting, Russ. I know you keep tossing this out there and out there and out there. I truly feel that they're really...
They're in it for the long run?
They're screwing each other over with their stupid booking instead of making both of them look strong. So they do have the split, as you want,
well, that's what I'm
as
saying.
We all want.
Right. If you're talking... You're bringing me back to my point. Enzo, the way he's booked right now, when they do eventually split, Enzo's going to be garbage. He has nothing, except he can talk, so he's hilarious. He's going to have nothing. Where Cass, at least, is going to be able to say, well, he's been a winner. He's the one who... He is the muscle of the team. He's the one who keeps the team together, blah, blah, blah. And that could be the reason they break up. Who knows? But that seems like a wrestling trope to me that would be perfect for it.
But wouldn't he just be the Billy Gunn? Because...
Okay... If you're looking at that route, Road Dogg was never always the guy who got beat down. Most of the time he was. And Billy would come in to save his butt. But, no. Road Dogg felt different. Road Dogg felt like he was more contributing to the team. Enzo seems like he talks a big game, gets his ass kicked, and then Cass comes and saves him. Period. That's it. It never changes from that.
They haven't changed the dynamic up enough to legitimize... either guy in their weakness, and they're killing that tag team. It's a tag team that should be unkillable. That tag team should be like one of the five most popular acts right now in wrestling, and they're still popular, but
I think
if somebody keeps losing, you know, 10 weeks in a row, fans are going to care less and less,
right,
and less, and at this point, there's no point in having the breakup. Like, you have the breakup to solidify two guys as stars.
Right.
And they're not. Cass is... I don't know. They got to do... Originally I thought Cass was going to end up being good, but he's not improving in the ring. I'm sorry. He really has not improved in the ring since I first saw them in NXT. And he should be... You look at Braun, you look at Baron, because they're... The other two young big guys.
Okay, you bring those guys both in. We'll talk about Baron later, because Baron is doing it right. Braun, what match has he done that's been great?
Braun actually has a move set.
I've seen
what
three
the hell
moves.
Does Cass... All right, name
shoulder
more
tackle.
Than one move.
Oh, yeah. No, Cass, I'm agreeing with you on Cass. He's got the big foot. He's got like that one slam, and then the power bar, or whatever, his arm bar there. Or, I can't think of the name of it.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, he's got three moves.
He's got three moves, but so does Braun. Braun uses the shoulder tackle, he uses the I don't fall down for shit, and he throws people. What else has he done?
He looks like a badass.
He does have that down.
That actually is a move unto itself. That buys you time in a match. Just your appearance and how you present yourself as a badass. He doesn't have to be the guy that never falls down, but he comes off like a badass. Does Cass even come off like a badass to you anymore?
Seems like a bully to me, Mul.
Well, everybody that feuds with Rusev is a bully. Rise above hate.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Cass is getting booked worse than Braun. Braun is getting booked really well. I'm not saying he won't, but after they're done, when the first person initially finally beats him by pin or whatever, what's Braun got? Nothing. Until he improves in the ring. And I did want to bring this. I brought this up at our blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling. I said,
is this our transition, Russ?
I guess.
This is our big transition.
It is our big transition. So,
this is so good.
I agree with you on the fact that, you know, when we talked about it, who's got the short-term best, I think Braun has a short-term goal that's way better than Baron Corbin's. Cass, we can't even put into the sentence, though, because Cass, he's been booked strong, but as a mid-carder, not as a face, or as a face that runs a place. Where Braun
Cass isn't even in the discussion anymore. Like, he should be in the discussion.
Absolutely,
he's not.
Absolutely, he's not. They totally leave him out. So, we're talking about Braun and Baron. Braun, short-term, he's been booked great. Oh, my God, monster. And he's definitely good. But he's done nothing in the ring. He needs to have a good match. He needs that one match with somebody who can give him a good match.
So, he's wrestled against Sami Zayn, and they booked it in the worst possible way. And you really have to struggle to have a bad match with Sami Zayn.
Correct. So I'm hoping the Last Man Standing match coming up next week is something that they showcase a little bit. But
I want to ask this question. Do you view this upcoming Last Man Standing match as a make-or-break point in Braun's progression? Meaning, if it bombs, are they going to push him as hard as... You know, if it's successful, they may push him stronger. Like, is this going to lower that glass ceiling? Because it appears that Braun has a glass ceiling that he's may not break through. I feel this Last Man Standing match is actually very important, whether he rises up to the main, you know, the upper card, or if he stays mid card for the next 3 to 4 months. My opinion. Carrie?
I am in agreement with you. I think he hasn't really shown that he's strong enough to move up to the upper part of the card.
I think you're wrong there. He definitely showed that he's strong enough. I think you mean in the ring.
Well,
Russ, that's a strawman argument.
I
see what you did there.
Is that he has like maybe three moveset. He's imposing. He's, you know, everything that a monster should be. But when you get past that, what is there for him? I mean, his mic work, very minimal. Decent, but minimal. I mean...
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt on the mic. On the mic, he's decent. Like, because he was pretty funny this last Monday. I'm multitasking. That's good.
I think Braun's actually gold on the mic myself in the short bits.
Yes.
But...
He can't
hold
his own.
We don't know what he can do because when he first came in, Bray held his hand, did all the mic work. And most of the mic work we hear is when Braun's music plays and he screams Braun. So he's not given a chance to shine, whereas somebody like Corbin's had opportunities to at least get on the mic a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's poor booking yet again.
Well, And to go with what you're saying, I see him winning the Universal title, or the Raw title, sorry, I didn't mean to call it the Universal title.
Blasphemy.
I see him winning the Raw title, but when he loses it, it's over for him. And I brought this up with Baron. They're doing long-term game with him, and it is working to perfection. Because let's admit it, 2.5 months ago, we were all bitching because he got taken off the Survivor Series team. Was that not the best thing that could possibly have happened to him at this point right now?
Wait, I was complaining about something?
I know it was rare. I know. But you did have a complaint because Baron was taken off the SmackDown Survivor Series team. But looking back at it now, is this not the best thing that happened to him?
I think talking smack was actually the best thing that happened to him. But this is... No, I disagree with that. He should have been in that match. He should have been in the Survivor Series 5-on-5. I do not have anything to say that he shouldn't have been on it, because it would have given him an opportunity to showcase talent, and I would have loved to have seen Baron versus Braun in that match. I think that would have still been better than inserting Shane. With that being said, Shane put on a good show, yada, yada, yada. I still think Baron should have been in that match. I don't see how that really helped him. I mean, it's not like he's been able to say, oh, look at how much I've improved since then. No, he just got beat up by a midget.
Well, okay, but that midget brought him to one of his best matches. So you've got to look at that TLC match, which was because they took him off of the Survivor Series because of that injury, and gave us a story that we could follow, we could get behind, and it turned out to be, like I said, I think I've seen one other chair match that I would consider decent, and I say this was leaps and bounds above that. It was a good chairs match. You got to give credit to both guys, can't just give it to Baron. So, and look at the Dolph stuff too lately. I mean, this past week, in the last week before, holy crap, I never wanted to see a Dolph Baron match again after the first feud. This last, I was like, holy crap, this was in him all the time? This is amazing.
I think so. I want to go back to Baron. I never left him,
technically. We're still on Baron.
Yeah, we're going back to Braun for a second.
Oh, that's who you met. Okay, I thought so, but I wasn't sure. That's tough between those two, Baron and Braun.
I'm oblivious to everything. Shut up, Russ. Is there a chance that Braun loses Last Man Standing? I think Sammy's winning that match. And I think that it's going to lead to six-man tag. I think Seth and Roman, or at least one of them, is going to interfere for Sammy. I really believe that. I think Sammy's going to be the one that benefits from this feud. I don't think it's going to be Braun for whatever reason. I think Braun is strong enough where he can bounce back, where I think this is Sammy's time. Does anybody else see this being Sammy's time, or do you think it's putting over Braun country?
Carrie?
Not 100% sure. I mean, Sammy needs a win, but Braun needs to be showcased. So I'm kind of on the fence.
Get off that fence.
I can't.
I'll let Carrie think about that fence for a few seconds about getting off one way or the other. On the blog, 9deuce.com/wrestling, I say that it's definitely for Braun. Here's my reasoning why. It's twofold. Sammy already technically has a win over him. So Sammy doesn't really need a win against Braun. Sammy just needs a good showing against Braun. So a good showing would be, you know, them fighting to the end, not giving up, not falling down. Braun needs to beat him. Does it have to be next week? I like your idea of it. It sounds legit that Roman or Seth would come out after especially getting destroyed by him.
Because it keeps Braun strong, and it gives Sammy a much-needed win.
Right. So, you know, I that's how I thought about it when I first thought about it. When I was going with it, I was about to write that, and I saw you'd already written that question. So I read yours, and I was like, I didn't want to copy you, because I was like, that's kind of what I was thinking. So I thought about it, and I kind of convinced myself into thinking, no, this is a time to showcase Braun. So... And I was legitimately on your side, and now I'm really on the Braun winning side of it. So I cocked myself, talked myself into it.
You know, last time you talked yourself into something, Sasha winning.
Yeah.
At a pay-per-view.
That's true. That was dumb. But still.
It happens.
It happens. Right, exactly. So maybe this will be a dumb mistake on my part, but.
Well, I mean, to Russ's point, I mean, yeah, this should be a showcase for Braun. I mean, they've, over the past couple of weeks, have put him in kind of the main event picture with the main event guys, you know, Reigns, Rollins, you know, the guys who he's going to need to compete with moving forward in order to, you know, get to the Universal title. So, I mean, by having him do well in this match gives him maybe that opportunity to move into that next level.
Yeah, I feel that it's almost like a shame to have these two guys going at it, because both guys really need to get over. It's tough to get both guys over with that creative booking.
True, but I think the way to get them both over is have Sammy not go down when he should go down, and it'd be an amazing thing, and then Braun finally overpowering to a point where he just can't get up. That would demonstrate both of them, but it can't be that 10-minute bullshit that happened at Roadblock where 3 minutes of it's talking to McFoley. It's got to be straight through, no stops.
Here's my concern. I don't want them to create, and I hate to say this, I don't want Sammy to turn into the next Dolph Ziggler. And that's with all due respect to Dolph Ziggler, but we all know Dolph got into a huge rut. This feud may make or break whether he goes into that long-ass rut or not. Sammy's too important. Like, Sammy's way more important, in my opinion, than Braun is in the long term.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sammy's excellent, and he's not young by no means. I'm very fearful they're going to pigeonhole him into a Dolph Ziggler-type role and never give him his due. Just my fear.
Well, it's legitimate because, you know, I was thinking about it. In 3 years, going back to the Baron and Braun comparison, in 3 years, I see Braun as a Big Show. You know, he's there. Ooh, he's dominating when they want him to be, but he's just a tool to get other people over.
He's a roadblock.
Yes.
A really shitty pay-per-view.
Yes. Where Baron, I see in 3 years, he's main eventing, and he is holding his own, and he's probably held the belt at least once or twice at that point. It's just the way they're doing everything. It just seems like that to me. Now, could it change? Absolutely. Baron could start shitting the bed. Braun could show us something that we never knew he had. All that stuff. But the way it's going right now, that seems clear to me the direction. In 3 years, we will not be talking about Braun Strowman.
Braun may have a shelf life of the Great Khali, which is also a shame, but it's very possible if they don't. I mean, maybe it's on him. Maybe he hasn't put his shit together. I don't know what he's capable of. None of us do, because we never got to see him in developmental. So we have no idea, like, are they holding him back from doing moves, or is he, like, really unsafe? Is he Nia Jax in the ring? We don't know.
He's pretty Nia Jax in the ring right now. He's just a little bit cleaner.
I always dread when Nia does that toss over her head into a Samoan drop. She's going to hurt somebody.
She has not done it perfectly yet once. I have never seen her do it right once.
It's scary, right?
Absolutely. I fear for everybody's life when they do that. It's very scary. But going back to Braun, oh my God, I lost what I was going to say because you made a funny Nia Jax joke and I couldn't resist it. Shoot, I guess forget it. I had something about Braun, and you brought up a good point. Oh, that's what it was. You're right. We never saw Braun in developmental, where we did see Baron in developmental, and Baron was awful in the beginning. Let's face it. He was stinky, like bad, and we've seen him get better. And as he's gotten better and more confident, he's just become a better wrestler. Like, and I know we're all super fans of Baron here, but
yeah, it amazes me because I used to openly groan when Baron's music would hit. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sick of these 20-second matches. And then he'd cut the worst promos and his hairline and everything. And then, like, they put him with guys like Samoa Joe and Rhino for the first Dusty Rhodes Classic. And it worked. Like, he started learning. Like, I don't know what clicked, but something clicked. Like, he became, like, a student of wrestling all of a sudden. And over the past year and a half, we've seen that mature into something else. And that brings me to another point. The whole Dusty Rhodes bear thing, I know some people are like really strong for, like, some people are like, yay, that's a cool thing. Some people are like, no, it's totally disrespectful. Some people are just nonchalant about it. What do you guys think?
Well, before we get on to it, can you explain it to me? All right, this is all I saw, and tell me if there's more to it. Bailey gave Dusty, or not Dusty, sorry, Goldust, a Bailey bear that was in Dusty's old uniform. She walks off, gets a hug, walks off, whatever. And then G&A come up and rip off the bear's head. Is there anything I'm missing beyond that?
They then had a match in which Goldust actually performed really well.
Saw the match. I saw the match. I mean, is there anything else beyond that people are talking
about? No. That was the whole segment. It was a pointless throwaway segment, aside from the fact that they may or may not have blasphemed an all-time great. Which is where the question comes
okay.
in. Is it disrespectful, or is it okay?
I have my opinion now that you've told me that, but I'll let Carrie go with hers first.
I was of mixed kind of feelings about this segment. I mean, one, I thought it was cute, the interaction between Bailey and Goldust. I just thought it was really sweet and just kind of hit you right. As I said in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, it just really hit you right in the feels. Then again, I mean,
dem feels.
Those feels, I know. Is it dusty in here? See what I did
there?
Little
roads over here.
I don't get it.
Huh?
I said I don't get it.
Is it dusty in here when you cry?
You don't have to explain it. I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. I got
Come
it.
On.
It's a little Cody over at Russell's.
Anywho, but I mean, with Gallows and Anderson ripping the head off the bear, I mean, yeah, you could deem that it's disrespectful, but seriously, that was just some really, really good healing. You think about it. But then again, I can see how it could be deemed kind of disrespectful to a man who so many, probably including Gallows and Anderson, respect.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. Dusty Rhodes is a player of the game. He would applaud this effort. He wouldn't even think twice it was a bad thing. Dusty Rhodes was one of the best heels ever. He started that road to heeldom of just being a complete jerk. So
when did that happen?
Way back in the day. He was a heel for a while.
Okay.
Wasn't he? Don't make me...
I'm kind of questioning everything you're saying here, but I'm just going to let you run with it, Russ.
Okay, well, he's a student of the game. Can we all agree with that? I think he wouldn't care at all about this. It's just...
I agree with that.
It's just... It's a symbol. Ripping off the head. Okay, what's that do? It gets his son, who was touched by this. We got the feels. We got all emotional about it. That's a good way of Raw drawing us out. And then good healing by G&A by just ripping that thing off, getting people against them, which is what you want as a heel, to focus on Goldust. And I think it was really well done because Goldust had a hell of a match. It was a really well done match. And I think it was that catalyst that got people, because now people were more invested. Wouldn't you agree that more people were invested now because of ripping off the bear's head instead of if they had just left it alone? Nobody would have cared about this match at all.
Yes, there are other ways, though, of getting heat. And is it just me, or are they failing on every level with Gallows and Anderson?
Oh,
they gave Gallows and Anderson the Dudley Boy rub. That was their final match. They gave them the Old Day, and it failed. And now this, and it's like, who was writing for these guys? Because they should be immediately fired. It's horrible how bad these guys are great. Gallows and Anderson are great when they're allowed to just be themselves. They could have gotten over if they would have just gotten a chance to freelance a little bit. Instead, they're given all the things that I kind of mentioned, and it's going nowhere.
WWE has definitely failed Gallows and Anderson because they should be a top team right now that everyone fears. But I don't think I'm sorry, it's a bear. Who the hell cares? I'm sorry, who cares? I honestly saw that segment, and I saw nothing.
Cody cared, because Cody posted about it.
Yeah, but you know what? Talk to your brother, because obviously your brother wouldn't have been in it if he thought it was offensive. So, because I'm pretty sure Goldust could have gone, yeah, no, we're not doing that. That's my father. Dusty is a player of the game. He has been in the back room. He knows what wrestling is about, and that is just plain old good healing. I have...
So Dusty Rhodes plays Triple H?
He has. Been like that. So, he's been a booker in the back. I don't see... I just don't see the problem with it. I really, really just... I thought there was more to it. Like, I sat there, because, again, I didn't watch Raw, so I thought there was more to it. I'm just sitting back there, I'm like, all right, what else happened? And they didn't show it, so I'm like, something must have happened, because I don't see this as offensive at all. I see it as it's writing 101. You get people to care. You do something like an asshole. You try to have the wrong get their right. And let's face it, Goldust had one of his best matches, so it really showcased him. Yes, Gallows and Anderson won, but you got to get them strong. So,
but okay, that's a whole other thing. Why were even the way they won the match was garbage?
Like, again, that's raw writing for you. I don't
like. That's what bothers me. Even though we kind of discredit, you know, we give credit in the fact that, hey, got the fans kind of into it, right? So now the fans are into it. Goldust is putting on a great match. Goldust should have, like, gotten disqualified for beating the hell out of all of them. Like, gotten the ref count and then just got DQ'd. They could have built a feud on that. Like, giving Goldust some extra...
They still could.
You know, they still could, but that's... That's the problem with Raw. They don't strike when they should strike.
Maybe they will. We still got it. Maybe they will. I can't see it because we need people in the Royal Rumble. So I don't. You're right. I don't see it happening. I see all the four of them being in the Rumble.
I don't understand why they don't strike when they should. It maddens me. It truly does.
You're right. I see where you're going with this, because this is perfect. Strike while the iron's hot right now. Get these guys on a feud. Goldust, here's the best thing. Goldust and R-Truth don't need to win. They just need to
look. No, they don't even care about winning.
Exactly. Look strong. Make Gallows and Anderson look like $100 million, and let them be that ultimate heel team. People are going to eat this up, and you're right. This is not going to happen. We're going to get them in the Royal Rumble. Nobody's going to care. Or when they finally do it, nobody's going to care.
This is another time when... I always bring this up at least once a month. Blood could have been used. Had Goldust legitimately busted Carl Anderson up for ripping the head off the bear, that would have added so much. They could have built a 2-month feud off of this, would have been a hot mid-card tag team feud, which is what Raw needs.
It would have kept Gallows and Anderson hot, too. So we're always in the back of our mind, oh, Gallows and Anderson, anytime, can go for that title. But right
keep
now, they're
relevant
stuck.
Until Finn comes
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. This is where Raw blows it. They have an idea, and then they just don't follow through.
And their idea was terrible in the beginning, because I'll admit it. You're right. I understand where the negativity comes. So it's a bad idea. But now they've got gold, and they should be striking on this like, holy crap, let's get this going. They won't.
No, they won't. It's, I don't know, sucks. Did either of you guys... Based on everything I've heard from both of you guys, I'm assuming neither one of you watched 205 Live, right?
Not yet. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Nope. I'm going to binge watch this weekend.
It's been pretty good.
I'm pretty caught
Neville up. Neville versus what's-his-face there, Rich, actually may have been one of the top 20 matches of the year. I don't know if I'm over exact top 25 at least. Like, it was a very, very, very good match.
Yeah, don't ruin it. If you looked at my, again, on 9deuce.com/wrestling, my blog, I stated that Rich Swann is still champion, I'm assuming. So don't tell me, because I am watching tonight.
It wasn't a championship match.
Oh, it wasn't. I thought it was.
No.
Sweet. Never mind. Then I'm assuming
but
Neville
won. I have no need to spoil the results. I'm just saying it was a good match. My question, and I asked this in the blog, and because Neville is what made me think of the question, I feel that Neville needs new theme music. I haven't written it down yet in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling. I don't ever promote this site.
You're not.
You guys
it's always
that.
Us. That felt awkward.
Yeah, I don't want to do it again. I'm just going to point at one of you, and you're just going to guess which one I'm pointing at, and you're just going to say, dinedeuce.com/Urson. Neville needs new music in the worst way. Like, that's not heel music in the least bit. Like, he needs a different finisher, but he needs new music. Kerry, when you hear Neville's music, that's not the music of a heel, is it?
No, it's the music of a superhero.
Correct. Do you have anything, like, would you give him, do you have any songs in mind that you would give him? So I actually have one.
I can't think of one, so go ahead.
I would love to hear him come out to Avenged Sevenfold's Hail to the King. If he's supposed to be the King of Cruiserweights, make him he's got the beard already, give him a little bit more dark attire, Hail to the King, because Triple H is never going to get... Triple H already has King of Kings. Triple H is never going to get rid of Motorhead. So give that song to Neville. And let Neville be the guy that we all know he can be. That's... I don't know. I think it would work well for him. I'd like to see him come out to something at least a little more hard. Doesn't even have to be metal, but something a little bit more hard than this.
That actually would be
rave music?
Yeah, it'd be really good. You're right. The Hail to the King would be really good for him. I thought of Heath Slater when I was doing it, when you offered it, because a one-man band isn't bad, but...
It's just not that great either.
Exactly. In Theory of a Dead Man has a song called Low Life, and it's about rednecks and everything. And that just screams what they're trying to do with Heath Slater's character. He should definitely come out to that song. I thought that would be great for him.
I could see that. I'll tell you another music that I like to hear, but I only like to hear it when I'm just, like, playing video games, but, like, to actually watch on wrestling, I don't care for it. I do not get excited when I hear American Alpha's music anymore. I think they tried to do, like, a classy style, like, Kurt Angle music, and it doesn't excite me. Like, at least Kurt Angle's song was really fun to chant during and
stuff.
Right,
you get that You Suck going.
Yeah, or just chanting, Angle... Like, whatever. I mean, I still do that. It don't matter what the hell I'm doing. I still say Angle during the song. And American Alpha's... I don't know what... They gotta do something, because... I don't know. I want to get excited for American Alpha. They're a great team, but they're still missing something, in my opinion. Yeah. I think music would help.
Yeah. You know what? Going on the opposite of that, who has great entrance music? That we just... like you,
Kane, Undertaker. Chris Benoit.
Bobby Roode.
Glorious. The Revival.
Revival.
I listen really to their song like almost every day. And then it gets stuck in my head and I'm like, go hard.
Shinsuke's is really good too. I love the violin.
Samoa Joe's,
yeah. Oh man, that's awesome.
Bailey's?
Gives you that Godzilla feel.
Oh, Bailey. Yeah, I even find Bailey's myself jamming out Bailey's to Bailey. No shame here.
Other than that,
actually, I like Sasha Banks. Her music's good, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just kind of over her.
What? History! Actually, her story, Russ.
That's true.
We're changing the word.
All right, you know what? We've been going on for almost an hour here. Almost. And we still haven't even touched the elephant in the room.
Nia Jax? That's rude, Russ.
No, she's the hippo in the room.
She's Samoa, she can't help it.
No, I'm talking about John Cena's return. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, he played an elephant in those pistachio commercials.
Exactly.
Very clever, Russ. Yeah, see? I'm sure that's exactly what you're referring to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So, well, what do you got to say about Cena Nation?
Okay, well, Cena came back on SmackDown, busted out a lukewarm... I don't know. It wasn't his best promo. Let's go with that. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. But he really interacted with the crowd a lot, I noticed. And he really stopped and thought about the Undertaker chant, which... Oh, man. I'm with you. I'm on board with that. WrestleMania, Cena versus Taker, that would be legendary.
I gotta interrupt. I gotta ask. Because I had this conversation earlier today. Is Undertaker versus Cena the last true, reasonable dream match that can happen in WWE?
For right now?
I'm talking about guys that are retired that aren't coming back. So I'm going to include, like, you know, Austin. Rock doesn't have the capabilities anymore. Like, he can still entertain, but it's not a dream match. Sting's retired. Is there any other dream match out there? Like, I think Cena versus Taker is the last legitimate dream match that WWE can provide its fans. After that, we've had everything that is possible.
If you could get him out of retirement, Shawn Michaels either versus AJ or Dean.
He's already said numerous times he's not coming out.
I know,
I'm saying
I know.
Guys that are retired that will not come back, supposedly. Mm. So that includes Daniel Bryan, Punk, HBK.
There's nothing really left.
Yeah, this is the only one left. If it doesn't happen this year, it's got to happen next year. I don't think Undertaker's got much left.
I am almost willing to let AJ lose at Rumble. He's had a decent, very nice. He's had a decent run as champ. Not a great run, but a decent run. I say Cena wins it at Rumble. And then have the dead man come after Cena and have him win at WrestleMania and then retire with the belt. It is so perfect right now how they've set this up. It has to happen.
No. You're really going to have Cena make history, number 16 at a Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble's a big pay-per-view. It's not like it's a mini one. It's one of the big ones. And it means he's going to WrestleMania. He can point to it, and as he points to it, the lights go out. And you hear the gong.
Russ, when the history of WWE has anybody pointed at a WrestleMania sign while standing in the middle of the ring? After the Royal Rumble.
Almost every single year.
Sometime between January and March. I mean, I'm struggling to think of any time that's ever happened.
That doesn't happen that often. That's why I was thinking it would be a really nice touch.
I mean, Triple H is never involved in that either.
No.
Least they could do is have Triple H just come out and point at it.
Maybe Triple H doesn't have anything to do with it. He comes out, points for Cena, and then the lights go out.
Oh, see, I could get behind Triple H being the spokesperson for Cena,
yes.
Pointing at them. I still would rather have... Actually, my dream match is Cena, Taker, and AJ, because that gives Taker plenty of rest.
Yes, and Cena and AJ, we already know they're... capable.
They're workhorses. They'll put on a great show and let Taker get the belt. Cena can still hold off a number 16 for a while. Give Taker that nice retirement gift.
I can see it. I'd be okay with a triple threat match between those three. But
Kerry's against it, clearly.
Yep.
Are you kidding? All I have to say is shut up and take my money.
Okay, well, hand it over.
Not you.
All right. Yeah, Cena's promo was kind of mediocre, to say the least. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. He's kind of like Roman Reigns. He's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He's just John Cena. Everything comes back to Roman Reigns as of late. Everything. Kara, do you got anything else you want to say about C Nation before we move on?
I mean, other than that, there was a decent promo. One thing, and Eric kind of noticed this, and I wanted to ask you guys if you thought it too, but didn't that promo almost seem just a little bit heelish on Cena's part, or is Eric just, you know, barking up the wrong tree?
No, Eric's right for once.
It seemed like it a little bit, but, I mean, that... I really, really was irritated when he goes... I'm coming in and demanding a match. I can do that. That was stupid. I'm like, no, you can't. They're going to give it to you because you're Cena. And that's all you had to say, but...
Actually, doesn't Cena usually give almost, like, kind of, sort of, heelish promos between the months of January and April?
Well, he...
Like,
I think it was...
This is becoming a thing where he kind of teases it every year in little subtle manners. Like... Against him versus Rock. Remember all those promos where, like, you could see it almost happen. They teased it, and now they're butt buddies.
Well, on your point, I think it depends on the crowd. It depends on how hostile the crowd is against him. Like, Chicago's crowd is almost always against Cena. So, I think he had to heal it up a little bit because they're already going to boo him anyway. You might as well just, you know, give us a little bit of a heel taste. And it's nothing. It wasn't that terrible of a heel taste, but it was a little heelish. But I think it's just because of the crowd reaction. You go to a crowd, you go to like somewhere like Boston where he's big, it would be all face stuff and stuff like that. So
screw Boston.
Well, yes, but that's not what we're talking about.
Nope, you brought it up, so screw Boston.
So, okay. Anybody else have anything else to say about Cena? Other than that, we're going to see Cena versus AJ at Royal Rumble, and anybody against that?
No, it should be early match of the year contender.
Mm-hmm. Gary?
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. It'll be a good show, good match. I mean, it'll be on par with probably what we saw at SummerSlam.
I've noticed...
We'll have a goofy ending. Like, interference, something.
I'm thinking early interference, somebody with a dark, dark history of being dead.
And a gong.
Chris Benoit is buried for us. He's not coming back to interfere in an AJ Styles and Cena match.
Undertaker can't. Undertaker.
Oh.
Gong.
Neat.
So, all right. I do like that they kind of, at the end, shook hands, Cena and AJ. That really left it neutral.
Right. Did anybody see that Jim Ross is predicting AJ Styles is going to be the biggest face by the end of 2017?
Yes.
And do you agree with that? Is it at some point, AJ is going to go back to face because he's too much of a high flyer. Like, he's great as a heel now, but heels that wrestle the way he does just don't stay heels for very long, especially as great as he is. But can he be the number one face of the company? Gary, look to the left. Nope, look to the left first. There you go.
I can see it. I really can. I mean, 2016 was the year of AJ Styles. Why don't we just continue that tradition on into next year?
I have to agree. Just listen to the crowd when his music hits. He's a heel right now. His music hits. He gets louder pops than the faces half the time. He is... And he does get booed towards the middle and when he starts going against the crowd. But he is loved and people want to cheer him. And he's great. He is one of the best performers I've ever seen. Hands down. I've liked him since he's been in the indies. And now he's in WWE.
TNA is a nationally recognized organization, Russell. They are great and they are never going out of business.
Okay,
screw Boston.
So, I've always been a fan of AJ's, but like in WWE, you usually expect them to go in and yeah, they're flashing to the pan and they kind of die out. AJ hasn't. AJ is
like Sami Zayn.
Yeah, kind of. I feel bad for Sami. He should be a top star right now and he's not. But AJ went in, did what he was going to do, said he was going to do, and he has just been amazing. He makes everyone look like $1 million.
So can we talk about the main event? Like that was a really good showing by everybody. And I gotta say my favorite thing of the night was the zigzag end of days combination.
That was sweet.
They had a lot of really good setups in that match.
Was that not some of the best chain wrestling you've seen in forever with three people?
Especially with somebody, I mean, AJ and Dolph, I expect that.
Yes.
But even Baron? As the biggest Baron Corbin fan you know, I'm not expecting him to be in a match of that caliber.
No, like, I didn't think anything of that. That last 5 minutes of chain wrestling was some of the best chain wrestling I've seen with three people, and Baron being one of them, I was thinking, there's no way this is Baron. Because that was just boom after boom, and it made so much sense. Like, the end of days to Ziggler at the end, and the way Baron got up from it, repositioned himself, and he couldn't see where... AJ was coming from. It was just so perfect. Like, it was legitimate. I looked at it and I watched it like three times just to see it. It happened exactly how it should. Baron, the way Baron got up, he would have never seen AJ. AJ was ready for it, pounced perfectly timed as Baron would see it. And Baron reacted perfectly. He acted like he never saw it until the last second. It was beautiful. Like, I loved that ending.
And it was nice. Once again, they're keeping End of Days very strong because End of Days was the move that won the match in reality.
Yep.
they're keeping that strong. I'm telling you right now, like that was a feel good moment for me. Honestly, like that cemented my belief of the past year that Baron Corbin's going to be somebody. Like, I believed in his character. I didn't necessarily believe in his development, and now after seeing him and Dolph last week, and then this week Dolph and AJ, I'm sold that with the right people around him, he's still got some learning to do, but he's capable of having a good to great match.
Yeah, and I'd like Kerry to jump in on this at some point, but I do want to point this out. He dominated that match, and they made it perfectly well known that he dominated. Like, he was kicking their butts. And they're right, AJ should have been scared to go one-on-one with him. He's lucky that Dolph was there, the way they played it. And it was perfectly done. The only way they took Baron out was when they double-teamed him. And then both guys realized it, and they're like, yeah, the only way we're taking him out is to double-team him. Now, the only thing I'll say is, after the table move, did Baron screw up? Like, was he supposed to pull the ref out? Or
it looked like he was supposed to. It, absolutely. I caught that. I'm like,
I forgot who
either
was
Baron
in the pin.
Was slow to it, or there was miscommunication or something,
right?
Because the ref's foot was close to where Baron would have been outside.
Right. And Baron, I'll say this, they covered it so well, you couldn't even tell, but it seemed like Baron was a second too late, and I don't remember who was getting pinned, but again, whoever's getting pinned, spot on, realized that Baron wasn't going to make it, and got themselves with their shoulder up, so it made it look like it was going to be a two count no matter what. And I want to say it was AJ on the ground again, so again, AJ showing his professionalism, knowing what was going to not going to happen in the right time, and you know, jumping out, so it looked smooth as butter, like nothing ever went wrong. But I was like, I think Baron was supposed to pull the ref out on that one.
Kerry, give us your thoughts.
I mean, it was a great match all through and through. I mean, I watched the highlights of it because, honestly, I fell asleep last night before this match.
Oh, do yourself a favor.
Watch the whole thing.
Do you want to watch the entire match? It's a feast for your eyes.
Hell, I even fell asleep during it. I admit to it. Like, that was the first thing I watched this morning because I kept falling asleep. So, I'm with you, Kerry.
With that being said, though, just the highlights themselves, I mean, I saw some great wrestling. It was great. Even just, I have to say, Baron Corbin stepped up his game almost twofold in that match. He realized the caliber of guys he was in the ring with, and he matched them almost move for move for move. It was just, the highlights themselves were great.
Yeah, and what they're doing, again, this is proving that Baron can play with the big boys. So now we're going to be seeing him in the main event. And there is no doubt in my mind, he will be champion probably within a year to 2 years.
Here's something that bothers me. I hate to keep bringing up the comparison to Braun, but the announcing. If you think about what they've done with Baron, they've constantly bring up these a three-time Gold Glove champion. He's got a dual degree in sociology and psychology.
He's the most
metal athlete. He's a former Arizona Cardinal. Like, he made it in the NFL, which is, you know, a next to impossible thing, really. And, like, they talk him up on his extracurricular things that add to his character. Like, oh, he can punch you, and if he punches you, it's going to hurt more than your average Joe punching you. Now you have that built up for his character. Braun's a former strongman, and they don't emphasize his other things. And I feel I'm just so impressed by SmackDown, how they highlight all these extra little things that add to his character without Baron even, you know, having to bring it up, for instance. It's just nice little things. And also, I want to say that table spot was freaking awesome for a table spot.
That was. It was leg drop by Dolph and phenomenal
leg drop. Wasn't it leg drop by AJ?
I mean, it was leg drop by AJ, elbow drop by Dolph. Yeah, I had it backwards. I was thinking it was phenomenal forearm to him and like because Dolph usually does a leg drop. You're right. It was the other way around. Yeah, it was really. It was well done too.
It looked devastating, and I was just impressed that Baron didn't get winded. A big guy normally gets winded. He dominated for what, the first 10 plus minutes?
He is closer to Taker than anybody's ever been. Back in Taker's day.
Aside from Luke Harper.
Yes, aside from Luke. Of course. We can't take away from Luke.
But yeah, I agree. Especially when you consider where Baron is age-wise compared to Luke's obviously significantly Correct. Older. Baron, the scary thing is he can still grow much more as a performer like Undertaker did, because WWE sunk their claws into Taker when he was still 25, 26, something like that. Baron could... Yeah, he's going to be their first homegrown star since the Cena-Brock.
Yeah, in a long time.
Absolutely. I now need to know something from Carrie. Since she's our investigative reporter, she's going to have the answer. Who is El Luchadora? Who's under the mask?
I know you've
done your research. You're clearly the person to go and ask this. You know the answer. So who is it?
I am stumped. All my sources, none of them are talking. So I can only speculate, and that makes me a very bad investigative reporter when I speculate.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you a pass, because let's face it, we all have segments on the show. Who's ready for their segment? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, you're not raising your hand, Ken, because you're a liar. So is Carrie.
I have a list right here in front of me, dude.
we'll give this one a Christmas pass. We're not doing any of our segments. Not to mention, we're already over an hour talking, and we haven't even come close to doing anything we normally do.
Part of my segment was Youngest World Champions. Undertaker ranks number 4, 26 years old, 8 months and 3 days. Did my work.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Hey, number 1.
You feel terrible.
Number 2 is Yokozuna.
Really?
Just throwing that out there.
Youngest? Who's the youngest? Yeah. Who was youngest?
Brock.
Randy?
This is for the youngest WWE champion. Randy's first one at 24 was the WCW belt.
Oh, okay.
So that's a whole other list, and it's not that easy to find on the internet.
All right.
This was much easier.
Well, there
I mean,
you go.
I knew all this stuff.
There was an segment for you guys. There you go.
You've been Kenchicated quickly.
Thank you for Kenchicating us, Ket. So, yeah. I was watching it on my laptop, which I don't normally do, they gave a really good close up to her face, and you could see clearly into the mask, and it looked like it was Naomi.
I don't.
It was a black girl. That's all I can
tell
you.
I'm not necessarily sure that was a black girl. Did you look at the hands?
I didn't look at the hands. I looked at the face, and that face looked very much like Naomi's, but I couldn't tell 100%.
Also, look at her ass. I mean,
that's true. Naomi
you're a guy, so you should be looking at her ass anyway.
I didn't look at it this time around.
Naomi has an ass on her.
Yes, she does. A fantastic
This
one.
Girl didn't necessarily have an ass on her, which led me to believe if Eva Marie went tanning a little bit more and had 300% more talent than she really did, she could have been.
Well, I was thinking that at first. I was like, oh, it's Eva Marie. But it doesn't fit her character. So I was like, probably not.
I don't know who else it could be. I don't think it doesn't fit the description of anybody that's on the roster right now, aside from, as you know, we said Naomi or Eva Marie, based on, you know, we have to use the skin color here. But it doesn't fit anybody in NXT either.
See, I thought maybe they brought an NXT character up, but that's Carrie.
I don't know. There is one person on the NXT roster it could be who matches that description. Take these special contact lenses off. What do you guys think of Ember Moon?
She's darker than Naomi, isn't she?
Who?
Who?
Is that?
Ember Moon, she's a short girl with a big ass. Once again, the truth lies in the ass.
I'm noticing this theme here. Ket seems to think the ass is the answer. Perhaps we should be looking at the women's asses as they come out and discovering who possibly could be.
And sometimes when Alexa Bliss is wrestling, you pay attention throughout the whole match, yes.
Yes, I actually watched the match because I love Alexa. And that was a good match. Okay, was it SmackDown's night to drop your opponent? Literally every match had an opponent who was up on somebody's shoulders get dropped. And not on purpose. They did make it look decent, and they had to cover it. But oh my god, like it was so many drops. So many drops.
I gotta say, Heath, when he fell, the best part about Heath's fall was watching Bray Wyatt.
Why?
Bray Wyatt was cracking up on the outside, and that's Bray Wyatt's actually one of the funniest dudes. If you like can hear him like in a tag match, he says some of the most ridiculous things. He's not necessarily like Seth Rollins. Seth is pretty legendary in that regard, but Bray is pretty high up there on the ridiculous list. So just tossing that little nugget out. But yes, you're right, Ross.
But again, like, well, even with Heath falling off like that, I don't know. They made a lot of mistakes, but they made him look good, didn't they? Like, a lot of times when you see a mistake, you fucked up. You fucked up, and we all know it. This one, they're kind of like, it was almost questioning, like, okay, yes, he definitely fell, but he made it look good. When he fell, it made the pin look legitimate.
Yeah, they did. Did you also notice it was the night of jackknife pins?
Yes, a lot of those.
I found that odd.
Especially in that match, too. They had two of them, didn't they?
Back-to-back eliminations were via jackknife. Kevin Nash was looking on somewhere.
And smiling. But yeah, there was a lot of botches I noticed last night, and it was kind of weird. There weren't terrible botches. It wasn't a you-fucked-up botch.
Listen, Bob Ross would just turn it into a fluffy cloud.
He would.
Okay?
Fluffy cloud, yes. I saw that on your Facebook. I couldn't figure out what it was at first, and then I realized it was Bob Ross.
I love that, man.
All right. The other thing we didn't talk about, well, let's finish it while we're talking about Heath Slater and all those guys. American Alpha is our new SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions. What the hell?
That was my reaction. I'm just as shocked as you are.
Does that mean that the Hype Bros missed an opportunity that they would have been champions?
I think because of Zack Ryder's injury, they were scrambling, and this got maybe escalated faster than it should have been. I don't know.
It makes no sense. You went from, because we all assumed, were we all just assuming that Bray, Randy, and Luke were going to win against the Hype Bros?
Yep.
Yeah.
So when American Alpha wins, makes me think, oh shit, poor Hype Bros who are going to win a championship. Because it doesn't make any sense, right?
No. I'm distracted at the moment, so you two carry on. I am trying to get a still frame of El Luchador's ass.
Good for you, Kent. That's
I'm doing the investigative report today.
That's right. Kent is putting on the hard news. All right, Carrie. So, I mean, what's your take on this? Because I would have honestly thought it would be better to prolong Bray and Randy and Luke having that championship, and it was almost worthless. Why? What was the point of giving it to them?
I agree with you there. I mean, it was kind of pointless. I mean, I thought the initial intention of putting the belts on the Wyatt family was so, you know, to give a little bit of a bump to the other guys in the division, have them, you know, kind of earn their spot, so to speak. And let's see, what do we have, like 2-3 weeks of the title reign, and then they immediately put the belts on American Alpha, a team that we thought maybe around WrestleMania would see the belts?
Yeah, and I was gonna say, didn't they take, they took away that WrestleMania moment from everybody now. They just, it's tough to, I don't know. I want American Alpha to win the belts. Don't get me wrong. But it just felt wrong. It just doesn't seem like the right time. And I know what they're doing with they're starting their mini feud between Luke and Randy, which is fine. But I would have thought that would start at the Rumble or maybe the pay-per-view afterwards. And then work from there. But I don't know. It left a very, not bad taste, because I'm fine with American Alpha being the champions, but it makes no sense for me for why they even bothered having Bray and Luke and Randy win the belts. It made no sense. Who cares?
Yeah, I just want to point out, this can't be Naomi. The hair color is clearly a dark brown or brown.
Okay. Look at the face, though, when you get a chance. They have a close-up on the face, too.
Okay, I'm working on it. Okay. I'm investigating.
I got you.
But to go to your points here, American Alpha, I really kind of wanted them to have their big moment at WrestleMania. Like, they seem like a team that could have used that WrestleMania moment. Despite me disliking the WrestleMania moment, it would have worked well for them. And I also, I wanted more of the Wyatt family as tag team champions, quite frankly. So, very disappointed. Also, this cameraman has done fine work during this match.
Oh, absolutely. There's a great shot of Alexa when she falls down. It's fantastic
stuff. I concur with that, yes.
Fantastic stuff. This cameraman knows what he's doing. He should get a raise.
Give that man a raise.
All right, well, Kent's doing his investigative reporting. I'll be honest with you. I am shocked that we've gotten to an hour and 15 minutes here talking about this week, where I've probably sat down and watched about 40 minutes of wrestling altogether. Because the nice thing is, when I watched SmackDown, I watched it this morning and all the commercials were cut out. So I've probably watched about 40 minutes worth of wrestling today. And we still talked quite a bit, so I'm pretty proud of us. Congratulations, guys. Kerry, is there anything you want to touch on for this week that we haven't quite hit?
I think I'm all set. I'm really, really interested in the results of Kent's investigation. So how are you making out there, Kent?
I'm about to get them uploaded, and then I'll share them in our conversation. In the meantime, we could either do the Guess the Wrestler, or we could hype up next week, because next week's a huge podcast. So somebody who wants to...
Oh, right. I guess that should be me, because I am the...
Come on, hype it, bro.
Hype, bro. Yes, next week, huge podcast, huge blog at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. It is our end of the year. Normally, people try to do the end of the year stuff before the end of the year, but we're different. We said, screw that noise. We said, we'll wait till the year is completely over, because who knew, maybe last night on SmackDown, they could have had a match of the year contender. They almost did. It was quite that last match. It was quite good. So we're saying, no, next week, big, big stuff from the podcast. We expect you to be listening to it. Huge end of the year. We're going to be talking about our favorite matches, best match of the year, best performers, worst performers, all those things. And then we'll also be talking about it in our blogs. So even if we all miss wrestling next week, which is a possibility because wrestling is time-consuming, we will be able to talk about next week no matter what.
I'm excited for next week, to be quite honest with you. So far, after seeing all the hard work that's been put in by our buddy here with the nominations and whatnot.
You mean you?
Nope, not trying to self-gratify myself here, Russ. Not one bit.
You've done phenomenal work on this, though.
Thank you. All right, I'm about ready to get those pictures up for you guys, so you keep shilling.
All right, so...
Also, Russ, it's your week to do Guess the Wrestler, so have you even thought about that?
Certainly is, and I certainly have a wrestler in mind that I want to use. In fact, I'm thinking right now who it could possibly be. Carry the show.
Male or female?
No, carry the show as to talk about it more, because I have to find out who the wrestler is.
Oh.
And he also said carry.
Yeah, see? Come on, I was... What are you
pictures,
most interested in?
Oh, pictures are uploaded right now in our conversation, so if both of you want to look at that quickly, I would like to, you know, point out, yes, the face is clearly of Latino or black heritage,
yep.
But the ass tells me that it's not black.
But they could have covered the ass, because that's not a very good picture of her ass.
Believe it or not, there was not many good ass pics, so you have to kind of use your imagination that she's standing up straight, and she has a little curved. Like, she has a nice ass, but it's nothing... It's not Naomi ass. Naomi has a bubble butt.
Very, bubbled. You're right. It's kind of hard to...
It's not Nikki. It's... Obviously, it's not Alexa.
Are you sure? It could have been Alexa. Now that you got me thinking, it could possibly be.
I even thought about somebody like a Rosa Mendez, but she never had any talent. But there is somebody who is in WWE right now who is dating or married to a former TNA girl named Rosita, I believe. And I wonder if it could possibly be Rosita, except the eyes don't match up for me. The eyes are really throwing me off on this one. The eyes actually look a little bit more Ember Moon-ish than... anything, but I don't know. Kerry, am I wrong in saying that her butt does not match what we've seen of Ember Moon in NXT? Like, she has thick legs. I don't think the legs even match. Man, if you guys could see the looks on their faces right now, this is fabulous. This is probably the best thing I've ever done for this podcast.
I can't really believe we're having this discussion this right now. Really analyzing this.
I can't believe we're having this discussion. Let's face it.
But it's a good mystery. Plus, the lips. They are full lips. What's not helping is the damn color of that mask is killing.
Yeah, it really makes it hard to see. Because you know what? It'd be funny if it was Natty.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, maybe the eyes, but other than that, I can't see.
It's clearly not Carmella, because Carmella's way too
thin. Yeah, that's definitely not Carmella. And it's definitely not anybody from Raw, because it's definitely not Sasha. I thought someone said it was Sasha at one point. I'm like, it doesn't even look like her.
No, too tall.
And too big.
I don't think it's too big. Yeah, and I was even thinking like somebody like Brie Bella. But once again, I think she's too tall, too big.
That's not Brie.
To be Brie.
It's definitely not Brie, because there's no baby bump.
That too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I don't watch E. Ever.
I do have my wrestler, so I think we'll be to continue with La Luchadora.
I just hope we find out who it is, because damn it, this is the best mystery since
who attacked Nikki Bella in the back.
Yeah, that. All right, so you got your wrestler, Russ?
I do have my wrestler.
All right, let's do this. Carrie, what's your question?
Yay, I can finally ask this question. Male or female?
It is male.
Are they currently on the active wrestling roster?
It's a good question. They are not currently on the wrestling roster.
So they are living.
Oh, they're definitely living. Is that your question? Because that seems like a waste of a question.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah. They are definitely living.
All right, so it's not Undertaker.
Yep. It's not Undertaker.
Okay.
I'll also give you that one.
Yeah, well, that wasn't even a question.
I know. That's why I'm giving it to you.
Stop giving it to me. Don't appreciate it.
The business. That's what I'm giving you.
Business end of the business. Business booming.
Yeah, we'll give you the fourth question here.
All right. Have they ever been a champion? No, no. You know what? Have they ever been a world champion?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Okay.
What?
That was your fourth question.
What era do they belong to?
2000s.
If I go to WWE.com, I go to like Raw or SmackDown, I look at their roster, you're implying to me that I would see their picture and or profile, correct?
As a wrestler?
No, because that could include announcers as well.
Yes, you'd be able to see his picture.
Oh, neat.
I pretty made this obvious. I think Ken knows already.
All right, that was your fifth question.
I mean, Carrie, if you want to just ask the next three questions, knock yourself out.
I think we should just move right into guessing.
All right, go ahead.
Kent, you first.
You forfeit the rest of your questions. I hope you're wrong.
All right. Wait, here's the seventh question. Does he have a clothesline that may not be from heaven, but rather from hell?
I do believe it has been referred to that as points.
At some point, has this guy ever been mean to the Blue Meanie?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'll also give you one more interesting fact. He was 17-time hardcore champion in 1 year.
And my last question is, does he ever talk about being Eddie Guerrero's best friend? Ever?
Maybe? I don't know. I don't know that answer to that question.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Okay. I don't know who it is. Carrie?
I think it's JBL. But that's just me.
Well, that's because you'd be correct. It is JBL. It was John Bradshaw Layfield. Yes. Did he actually say he was best friends with Eddie?
Eddie was his best man.
Well, for real. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you meant, like...
Yeah, I mean, they were actually really close in real life. JBL was very close with Taker, Ron Simmons. I think maybe Godfather.
He was. Him, Godfather, Farouk, Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie, Ray.
Ray. Who else was there? It was really big with him.
I don't know. I know he was close with Basham's for a bit.
Yeah. I just saw, you know what made me choose him? I went to the best wrestlers of 2000. I Googled it. And I saw his name, and I clicked on it, and I saw, this is what really tipped me off, 17-time hardcore champion all within 1 year. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
He's not even the all-time record holder for that belt, I don't think.
No, he's not. It's just funny that it just came up. But it's funny, they don't mention his world championship on here as... They don't mention his WWE championship at all on as a list of accomplishments on this.
That's hilarious.
It is. But like, I knew he was, so I knew I could answer that question. I'm like, yeah, he was.
I gotta say, just about JBL briefly, he replaced Daniel Bryan this week on Talking Smack. And one of the guests was Dean Ambrose. So JBL's in between Renee and Dean Ambrose. Makes for interesting television. Not as interesting as Rhino as Santa rubbing his chest with cookies, but what really is
nothing.
That interesting?
There is nothing. That's pretty awesome. All right. I think I'm all wrestled out for this week.
I'm all wrestled out, too.
That was clever.
Thank you.
So
I also want to eat some chicken wings.
Yeah, I want to. I think it's a good time to call it. So this has been, ladies and gentlemen, Are You Not Kentertained? We hope we kentertained you just a little bit this week. And, of course, we'll be back next week with our huge, I mean large, on the very large scale, podcast of the year 2016. It could be considered a fat joke. I wasn't going that route, but now I'm going it.
Good.
So it was a fat joke. So, yes, we will see you folks next week. And again, if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to send them to Kent.
At ninedeuce.com. And whoever you are, stop stalking me.
Yes. It's definitely not me. Definitely not me. For Carrie, Kent, and myself, have a great evening, folks. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Are we over? Do I conduct my penis?
Do I draw the penis?
That's my favorite line.
You know what? Wednesdays are terrible now for TV. I mean, granted, this is a bad time for TV, but Jesus. It's just a TV...